You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, surviving breast cancer and living the life you've always wanted to, plus an Oscar performance from an actor you probably forgot about. Our movie guy joins us live. Let's meet the friends. She cleared security on her way into our fortified studio encampment. It's Erin Myers.
Three different law enforcement agencies miss a gun hidden on a suspect. I'll tell you where he hid it.
Spinning a web of delightfully useful news, it's Jay Campadonia.
If you're not afraid of spiders, I've got a story that might make you terrified.
And helping you cut the cord once and for all, Chris Martin is here.
Phil, a major TV network is giving us all one more reason to join the growing numbers of cord cutters. I'll have details coming up.
Oh, how about that? All right, we're snipping away at every possible story, at least the ones that we care about, and vis-a-vis you care about. Hi, it's Phil. We have Jay and Erin and Chris, and let's get things started with you, Erin. Wow, you know what? You hear about things getting snuck into a prison all the time, but in this case, all I can say is this is just ridiculous. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere.
Yeah, and they're still investigating. They can't figure out how this happened, but a loaded handgun was found inside a 19-year-old prisoner's underwear. In his underwear in D.C. Superior Court, even though they said he was searched multiple times and that was actually in custody of three different agencies on that day.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out just how everybody missed it. And he was literally feet from the arraignment courtroom. So they caught it in time, but loaded gun, three different, you know,
I want to know about this underwear. Because you know what? It's baffling to me how you can keep anything in there. See, have you ever worn shorts, you know, just like typical shorts? Not the kind with like a button and a zipper and pockets, but the kind you just pull up. You know, like gym shorts.
Like basketball shorts.
Yeah. You throw those on. And I've done this in the yard or whatever. I'm holding my cell phone and I stick it in the elastic, right?
Right.
Like the band.
It'll fall through.
In the band. Yeah. And it falls through.
Right. I think maybe you're looking in the wrong spot, Phil.
Is there a better spot to store a gun?
Well, there are small handguns that are easily concealable if you know where I'm going with
it. Do you need to clench?
Probably.
You're saying you could keep them in the cradle of the whitey tidies?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if they just pat you down, it's not like they're getting your undercarriage.
Boy.
That's true. They're not getting real up in there.
But it's
like
a prison.
That.
They should get up in there.
That's the point. That's the point, Phil.
Right. And what happened to the metal detector? Don't they get wanded?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you know, it doesn't say anything about
that. You go into a basketball game, you get wanded. And we're talking about a prison.
I agree, Phil.
Apparently, the guard was tipped off when the judge said, "Is that a handgun in your pants, or are you just excited to be here?"
nice pull on that one, Chris. All right. Erin, I love me a tasty plate of salmon.
Yeah, well, this
are they getting to me quicker than they should?
They are, actually. They're running quick now. It's salmon running season in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, that's where they go from the ocean to the rivers to spawn. But there's one waterway near Washington and Oregon where the salmon are actually getting a little help. It's called the Whooshfish Transport System.
Whoosh?
Yes.
Whooshfish.
Whooshfish. And it's actually a salmon cannon, and it moves salmon. Yes. It actually grabs the salmon out of a holding pen and shoots them through this long tube and moves them about 150 feet away.
Wow.
And they said this could be very useful now that there's dams and rivers. They could just shoot the fish over the dam. Which I think that's kind of cool, flying fish.
Wouldn't that kill some of them? Doesn't it kind of defeat the purpose?
No, they say it doesn't harm them. That's what
they
say.
This is the same technology that allows a guy to put a gun in his underwear.
Right?
It's hard to understand how there's no damage done.
It just works.
Yeah.
I picture it like that old bank tube where you used to put your money in it and you'd stick it in the tube and it would suck it through with air.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot it back into the bank.
I think they still use those at Costco.
Yeah. They do. Yeah, Home Depot, I see them in the ceilings there, too.
I think that's the right direction that you're thinking there. But, yeah, the Whooshfish
transport system.
Can you imagine the infomercial for that?
Yeah.
Come on down to Big House Whooshfish. We got the Whooshfish 5000.
Yeah.
All right. So when I check out and the kids are tired of me once and for all and they book me a room in a nursing home. I want to bring all my stuff.
Of course.
Can you bring all your stuff?
Well, usually no, I guess. Apparently you can't bring cats. A woman named Nancy Cowan was sent to a nursing home, and she was separated from her cat, Cleo, who they said she had for 8 years, and a neighbor was going to take care of the cat. Well, 2 weeks later, Cleo, the cat, showed up front at the nursing home and started just hanging out, and the staff thought she was just a stray, so they started feeding her. Well, Nancy saw the cat and recognized her as Cleo because she had a little tail missing on her, and I guess that's how they recognized her. So she hunted her down and found her.
She had like a couple of notches of her tail missing, or the whole tail?
Yeah, just a little bit, but that's how they recognized her. So Cleo found her master, her owner.
How about that?
It's very sweet. Aww. And now it looks like Cleo's sort of the resident
pet.
Yes,
they changed their policy then.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Can't separate them after that.
I guess not.
No.
All right.
They should, but no.
Jay, I've got to ask you. I know you have this story, and perhaps we should put some kind of disclaimer in front of it if somebody has a severe case of arachnophobia.
That is very true. And also, I'm going to teach you a lesson on traveling to third world countries and why you should never do it. Guy goes to Bali, right? And he wakes up one day and he says, man, what is this little mark above my belly button? It's about an inch long. He doesn't really know what it is. And he goes, you know what? Maybe I slept on something. Maybe the sheets were wrinkled funny. Who knows? I'm just going to go about my day. 2 days later, it's now a foot long. The little red mark above his belly button is now a foot long going towards his head.
Oh.
Can you imagine this on your stomach? Can you imagine this across your chest?
Yeah.
So the guy goes to the doctor and he says, hey, man, you got bit by a spider. Here's some medicine. Go home. Well, 6 inches the next day. Now it's 16, 17 inches long across his entire chest.
All the way up to his neck?
Almost. Pretty close, right? He goes back to the doctor, and they send him to the dermatologist. Dermatologist says, sir, you were bit by a spider, and the spider is living in your skin.
Oh! That's gross.
It had burrowed close to 2 feet up the guy's chest, and it started laying eggs, right?
A biting, burrowing bally spider?
Yes. And the dermatologist had to remove the spider with tweezers out of a giant pustule that it had formed just above the chest area.
So you worked burrowing, biting spider and pustule into the same story.
You like
story
that?
Just pretty keeps good. Getting better. Mm-hmm.
Evidently, the guy's going to be okay. When they actually pulled it out, the spider had died. So that's good.
Yeah.
But they had to go in and they had to clean the burrow to make sure there weren't more spider eggs.
Eggs. Mm-hmm.
And they had to cut them wide open. And they had to just, I mean, this is like skin deep. It's not like they're like opening the guy's chest.
No, but wait a minute. If this is a burrowing spider, if I'm a smart spider and I don't want, if I realize in nature there are probably ways they're going to find my eggs, I might burrow into the body a little bit when I deposit the eggs.
Probably.
Sew it up, you know, with my old spidey sense.
Right?
Burrow along another 6 inches.
I think you're giving the spider more credit than his tiny brain.
Well, I don't
deserves.
Know. I'm just thinking this is the evilest spider on the planet.
Right? So they had to clean it out. Now he's all good. He's good to go. The guy's from Australia, by the way. They stitched him all up. And so what is he going to do to celebrate life, Phil?
What is he going to do to celebrate life, Jay?
He is getting a giant spider tattoo across his chest.
Oh, no.
I was going to say have a Foster's, but
yeah, right. Yeah.
Apparently he's
I like his attitude.
Giant tattoo across his chest of the spider who almost ate him alive.
By the way, Bali, beautiful place. That's why people keep going there. And you could get one of those huts on that are elevated over the water,
sure.
Stay inside one of those, jump out, get in a boat, go surfing out in a reef somewhere, and
no
get
thanks.
Bitten by a sea snake while you're
we
there.
We live in the greatest country on the planet. Why? Why would anybody go travel 2 days on a plane that you stink and other people stink and the food is terrible? Why would you do that to go get bit by a spider or a sea snake? Why? For a picture on Facebook? Get out of here.
When you can just go to the Florida Keys.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Or go up north, Northern California. That's beautiful there. Go to Montana.
I'm perhaps in the minority here. I'm thinking, why the heck go to Florida?
You get the same beach. You get the same view. You get the same view.
Do you?
In the United States, you go to Redondo Beach here on the West Coast, you get the same beautiful sunsets that you would. And they have palm trees here too, Phil.
The water's a different color.
Yeah, it's not that
pretty. It doesn't matter.
Turquoise.
There's photo editing software. You could be anywhere in the world.
Well, I will tell you that when my wife and I consider vacation spots, and I suggest a beachy area, she always says, why should we go to the beach? We have beaches here.
Bingo.
And she's on your team.
There we go. Way to go, wifey.
It's a good point.
For me, it's a new beach.
Yeah, no, I like
a new beach every time.
Crystal clear, see-through
There's
water.
A joke
That's what
there,
you want.
Phil,
is there?
I'm not
all right.
Go there.
You're not going to go there? You're not.
No.
Okay. All right. Do you use the Hulu? You do? You don't? I think I have a Hulu account. I better check into that because I may be paying for something I'm not using all that much. But just the same, another of the big networks is getting into the game, but in an even bigger way. And Chris is going to talk about how you can continue cutting the cord from cable and broadcast television, and the networks are encouraging this. And that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. The friends are here. Aaron, Jay, and Chris, I'm Phil. And we're so glad you are listening today. And here's something new in the media business that you need to know about because it potentially could change the way you watch your TV shows. Chris, tell us about what CBS is up to.
I will do that. And the way we watch television is changing. And CBS is possibly the biggest of the big four or five television networks. And now they're launching CBS All Access, which is a streaming site for broadcasts of all of their 14 stations.
Wow.
Yeah.
14 networks or stations?
14 stations.
No, they have more than that many stations.
Well, maybe they're referring to stations as networks, but Les Moonves does say that it's 14 stations.
That's interesting. Himself. So maybe they're picking like Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, you know, that sort of
interesting.
Thing.
Interesting.
Oh, you're exactly right, Phil. They are. They've teamed up with those major, probably 14 major areas.
Maybe those are the O and O's. Is it owned and operated? Is it possible that CBS has that many stations that own and operate, and the rest are affiliates owned by other companies?
Sure.
All right. Okay. Now that makes sense. We cleared that up because we have industry people listening right now.
Right.
We want to
get our facts straight.
Yeah, because we want to sound like we know what we're talking about.
That's it.
Aaron, how'd the fact check go? We sound good?
I think it's sounding pretty good
on
so
board?
Far.
Okay.
Yes.
We're
all
legit.
Right.
I'm on board.
Good.
So they're going to start by giving us 15 primetime shows the day after they air, but it's also going to include free access to 5,000 plus episodes of all their classic airings, like Cheers and one of my favorites, MacGyver.
Awesome.
Old award shows, all of that.
Yeah.
On your mobile devices, though, you're going to have to wait 8 days for live new programming. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
So wait, hold on. You can get it on your computer,
the
but
day
you can't
after.
Get it on your iPhone or Android phone.
You can get it on your computer the day after. You can get it on your Android or iPhone 8 days after a major airing of a broadcast.
Does an iPad or tablet consist of
how would that work?
Is that a mobile device?
Yeah.
Or can I get it on my iPad the day after, or do I have to wait 8 days?
I think you have to wait 8 days. I mean, I don't know whether or not it can recognize a signature in a mobile device and distinct between a cell phone or an iPad or something like that.
Well, see, this is the danger of having friends. If you watch your things 8 days later, it's every conversation you have is a potential spoiler.
Right.
So what I think you should do is just, you know, give up on your friends and just live an isolated life, you know.
With cats.
Yeah, with cats. Oh, there you go. Become a cat. Become a crazy cat lady like Erin. And you don't have to worry about spoilers. And you're there. Doesn't that make sense?
If
you're going to watch everything on DVR, you're going to watch everything 8 days later. Otherwise, you're going to find out what's happening, and you're going to just hate your life.
But the day after is not so bad, right? Don't most people watch stuff the day after anymore anyway?
Yeah.
I do.
Because they've got it on their TiVo.
Yeah. TiVo.
TiVo.
Is that what we call DVRs
DVR.
Now? TiVos?
TiVo was the original.
Yeah, I think that's what we called them.
Yeah, for a while. But I think pretty much everybody's saying DVR now.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got a DVR now.
Yeah, there's so many different devices that record television.
That's right. I need a DVR in my radio. When are we going to get that?
They have that.
Do they?
That's available.
That's
radio
called,
on demand.
That's called podcasting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. Like you can hear us on demand whenever you want to. All right, very good. Hey, by the way, if you're listening live, we love you. This, speaking of love, apparently there was some going on. We've been hearing rumors for a while now that O.J. Simpson is Khloe Kardashian's real father.
O.J.?
Yeah, that's that. We've been hearing those rumors. Now there's another contender entering the mix for the prize, Khloe Kardashian's dad, real dad. It's Lionel Richie.
Knew it.
Okay.
You knew it. Radar Online claims that Lionel's 16-year-old daughter, Sophia, is the spitting image of Khloe. And they also claim that Lionel and Kris Jenner had an affair in the early 80s because, you know, Bruce Jenner never liked the ladies in the first place.
Yeah.
He likes them a lot. He's becoming one.
Oh, that's right. That's how much
so
he likes
much.
Them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, Kris and Lionel apparently had this affair in the early 80s, and Khloe was born in 1984. A so-called source says, quote, Lionel was on the outs with his wife at the time. Everyone was sleeping around with everyone else back then, and Kris was hot in those days.
Eesh.
That was a so-called source. Another source says Lionel used to openly brag about the affair. Kris was, of course, married to Khloe's father of record, Robert Kardashian Sr. The Richie and Kardashian-Jenner families are said to be pretty tight, and Sophia is reportedly good friends with Khloe's half-sister, Kylie Jenner. Boy, there's some kind of gene pool going on over there, huh?
Look at this.
They do look similar.
It's terrible.
In the picture.
Do they? Oh, the picture of
Khloe and Lionel's daughter?
Yeah.
They do look a little similar. They look more alike than she does, like, her Kardashian sisters.
So do you think Lionel's, like, 80s hits, like, Hello, that one?
Yeah.
Like, you think that was dedicated to...
It's
Kris Jenner.
It's I don't want to say my name.
Right.
Because somebody might catch us.
Exactly. Like, I think that's kind of interesting learn about, you know, artists' lives. Because then it's like, oh, that song must have been about her or him.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I just find it comforting to know that the Kardashian name is associated with another 100 millionaire.
Yeah.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad they weren't dating in the 70s because I would be certain Brick House would have been written about.
Right.
Not bad.
About Kim Kardashian. Not Kim. Not Kim. Kris Jenner.
Kris Jenner.
Kris, whatever her name is, Kardashian. All right. Well, it's a good thing he didn't date a 6'8" tall woman from Brazil. Isn't that right, Erin? Because things might not have gone so well on their first, maybe their second date, depending on how things were
yeah,
rolling.
Yeah, well, this woman in Brazil, she, 6'8", and she was teased a lot, bullied a lot when she was younger. Well, she's taken that and turned it into a way to make money by squashing men. yes, she's a man squasher. But
another song in there.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
right?
That could be good.
She's a man squasher.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah, I guess she goes and hooks up with these clients, and she dominates them by sitting on them, wrestling, all that, and she makes thousands and thousands of dollars a day.
And the guys
doing
want this, and they survive, right?
So far, so good.
What did you say?
So far, so good.
She's 6'8". Can you
yes.
imagine that?
And she goes by Amazon Cynthia. That's her name.
Oh, well, thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Google.
Plus all the therapy she gets for getting out all her childhood aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, gosh. Talk about aggression. We hate the traffic here in Southern California. It's terrible every single day. But what happens when one of those big rigs full of all kinds of stuff, all kinds of crap, gets all over the freeway, Jay?
You know, actually, yesterday we had an overturned big rig down here in Southern California on the 405 that snarled traffic for a few hours. But up in San Jose, I think this traffic accident kind of takes the cake. A truck carrying 1,000 gallons of stuff overturned onto the freeway.
Oh.
And it caused a major backup on Highway 280. Now, I've never been up Highway 280, but it says the traffic was backed up for miles because they had to call the hazmat team out there because the tanker was carrying 1,000 gallons of porta potty fluid.
Porta potty fluid.
Fluid.
Oh, that's the stuff that needs to be dumped or treated or whatever, right?
Authorities say it's the stuff that treats the stuff.
So it's the blue stuff.
Yes.
The blue stuff. So luckily there was no human fluids in the fluids.
Is that the stuff McDonald's puts in the McNuggets?
No, probably. That's pink, Phil.
Oh.
That's pink.
I get the stuff, the fluids mixed up sometimes. It's a good thing I'm not the chemist in charge.
Yeah.
All right, traffic jams aside, Hollywood's throwing a whole lot at you this weekend, and hopefully none of it is fluid.
Oh.
But how are you going to sort it all out at your local Cineplex this weekend? We don't want you wasting your hard-earned money. No! So we're going to help out. But with so many movies coming out, will our reviewer like any of them? He usually doesn't, but we'll see. I think he has a favorite this weekend. Which one can it be? He's next, right here, on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Oh, we're having fun today on Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're glad you're here with us because you got to go to the movies. It's inevitable. So why waste your time when our movie reviewer, Michael Strago, can offer you some valuable advice as to which movies to avoid at any cost. Michael, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Glad you're here. All right, Brad Pitt goes to war in a movie called Fury. Have you seen it? Is it any good?
I've seen it, and it's really, it's okay if you're going, just if you're a war buff, if you're a war movie buff, and you just want to see a film that really, despite people's perceptions, the kind of film that really hasn't been made that often, which is a tank drama, you know, a movie entirely centered around a tank crew in World War II. You know, we've had movies like Patton and Battle of the Bulge, which are, you know, more sweeping kinds of films, but I you know, I have to go back to a movie like Sahara with Bogart, which, by the way, is a much better movie if you want to rent it on DVD.
Of course, to
get a movie like Fury. Because what this guy does, David Ayer, I kind of liked his cop movie, End of Watch, but I think he's a very erratic filmmaker. His last film was this film nobody's talking about, even though it came out just a few months ago, Sabotage with Schwarzenegger, which it could have been a career ender for all involved if anybody noticed it. But I
saw that. Is that bad?
Yeah, wasn't it just terrible?
It was not good. And I'm sad to admit I watched it.
Well, no. I mean, you know, that's why you probably hadn't been on the air with that one yet. So you didn't know. But the Fury is actually, you know, it's very well made. It just focuses on the final days, the mop-up exercises in the European war, and this tank crew that is really at the end of its rope and just a punch drunk. And they get Pitt as the leader of the crew. Pitt is, I think, a really terrific movie star. I mean, he does the kind of acting that old movie stars used to do, where it's not really showy. People think that he's just sort of playing himself in certain ways, but he really is, you know, I think, an actor who's really able to convey exactly what his character is supposed to be thinking at the time.
With that being said, Michael, are you thinking maybe Oscar buzz? A lot of these actors, they do the big war movie, and then they get the Oscar nod.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think Pitt does as well as he can within the restrictions of his part, but he's really just playing the strong, taciturn guy who seems fairly ruthless and amoral, just determined to win at all costs and make his guys survive at all costs. You know, the heck with the rules of war until the very end when he makes this last stand. I don't want to give too much away.
No, you don't spoil it for us.
It's really, to me, the whole falling action of the film really just didn't hold water. I mean, the film tries to be like really unsentimental and grim, and then by the very end it gets kind of ridiculous.
There you go. So that's Fury. That's Brad Pitt. The other two wide release movies. I don't know. Will you be seeing either The Best of Me or The Book of Life?
Well, I'm curious about The Book of Life. I have not seen that, but that's Guillermo del Toro is involved with that. And even though it's a cartoon, and I haven't seen any of his work in cartoons, he is the guy who gave us Pan's Labyrinth a few years ago and Hellboy, the Hellboy movies, which are kind of fun. So I am kind of curious about that. And the Best of Me, it's a Nicholas Sparks movie, and I understand that a lot of listeners like The Notebook and films like that, but I've yet to find one of those that has really won me over. So I think I may take my time going to that. But there's one film that's getting a lot of buzz out there, and it's really deserved. And it's Birdman, which is just going to open in New York and L.A., but it's already on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. And,
isn't Michael Keaton in that? Because I thought he just kind of dropped out of Hollywood altogether.
Oh, Michael Keaton has actually popped up now and then. He was even in the RoboCop remake earlier this year, doing a sort of parody of Steve Jobs that I thought was hilarious. I think he's always been terrific whenever I've seen him. But this is a role that really will get him, the Oscar nod and get him the kind of respect that he's always deserved. He's playing what seems to be a version of himself, though he denies it, a big Hollywood franchise star who turned his back on his franchise. In this movie, it's Birdman, not Batman, and he decides to direct and write an adaptation of a fairly prestigious Raymond Carver short story for Broadway. Keaton does a midlife crisis like nobody you've ever seen, and this movie does it like nothing you've ever seen, complete with fantasy flights dependent on the Birdman, who we actually see as interacting with Keaton himself and the other actors who are an amazing crew. Edward Norton goes toe to toe with Keaton, and as an actor who's really stealing Keaton's thunder in this show. And the two of them are both funny, dramatic. Norton should get a supporting actor nomination for that. And the ladies in this are great too. Naomi Watts, who plays Norton's lover, and Emma Stone, who plays Keaton's daughter in this. They're both really trenchant and witty and emotional. The whole movie is done. It's so funny. It's an attack on Hollywood's obsession with franchise, comic book movies like Birdman or Batman. But the film itself is done with the kind of whiz kid virtuosity of one of those movies at their best. It's all done to give you the illusion that it's taking place in one shot. Mm. And I think even the fanboys who just go to comic book movies would go to this movie just for the thrill of it.
How about that? All right. So Oscar buzz for sure. Let's see.
I'm surprised Michael likes a movie that's actually in the theaters and doesn't have subtitles and is directed by somebody that has never been, nominated before. So good job, Michael. You're expanding your horizons. I'm proud of you.
Wow. Jay is not cutting you any slack. But you know what? It sounds like you nailed
rolls
this one.
My back.
With the Birdman.
It's so true, it just rolls off my back.
Yeah. Anything good on Blu-ray this weekend?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Speaking of movies that do well in theaters, that I actually gave my highest grade to, A+ to, when I was at the Orange County Register, which I am no longer.
You and 100 other guys.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The new, the most recent X-Men movie, Days of Future Past, is out.
CJ, look at that. That's a movie you've heard of.
It is. Yeah, I'm surprised.
So it's funny because Birdman takes a lot of good slaps at Hollywood. As the director said, Birdman said, it's not so much for the movies themselves; it's just for the sheer space they take up in the megaplex. I mean, it's hard to see anything else. But when they're good, they're really good. And X-Men: Days of Future Past is one of those comic book movies that I like to think actually reflects more of what's going on in America than most of the other genres you can see, like rom-coms or even cop movies. I mean, I mean, X-Men Days of Future Past actually deals with whether, you know, the post-Vietnam syndrome of, you know, America is so hesitant to repeat the mistakes of his past really leads them to take on a war against the mutants. I mean, it's really a kind of witty play on that, as well as having just some of the funniest physical comedy bits I've ever seen with a character named Quicksilver, who makes everyone else move like they're in slow motion and pulls off a bit that you'll never see on a TV show like The Flash or any lesser movie. So X-Men Days of Future Past has the best ensemble cast in movies: Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, I think that's the one to rent on DVD and Blu-ray.
Wonderful. All right. And how about one just for Jay that you know he'll never rent, he'll never look at whatsoever? Anything else on Blu-ray that you like?
Well, you know, my darling Clementine, actually, if you're just asking me a personal favorite, I mean, everyone loves old John Ford Westerns and especially ones that starred John Wayne. But my darling Clementine with Henry Fonda as Wyatt Earp.
Oh,
that just got
I
out.
I saw that one. That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a heck of a movie. It just came out on a beautiful new Blu-ray from the Criterion Collection. You know, the great screenwriter Robert Towne, who wrote Chinatown, once told me, you know, My Darling Clementine is basically about the way Henry Fonda walks. And if you watch this movie, you'll see exactly what he means. This guy with this innate dignity and authority going down this frontier town sums up a lot of what people like to think of as real American virtue without any of the sentimentality or any of the cornball stuff. And it's got a great climactic action scene at the OK Corral. Mm-hmm. And it also has one of the best dance scenes when they raise a barn and they do a dance outside, and you've never seen someone do a kind of clod-hopping step the way Henry Fonda does at White Earp.
Hee-haw. How about that? Like he's got a gun in his underwear. Beautiful. Well, Michael Srego, great to talk with you again. We'll enjoy the movies this weekend and talk to you next week. Find out what's worth watching and what's not.
Okay, always fun talking to you.
Same here. All right, there he goes, our movie guy, Michael Srego. He's got books in our bookstore, in our store, that is, at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go check those out. Did you know that October, aside from being just one of the more fun months, is also a month to become aware? It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you are about to hear from a woman who just refused. She would not let breast cancer slow her down. You'll hear how she refocused her life and how she now empowers other women, perhaps you, to do the same, and you'll hear from her right on this program, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing: a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we thank you for doing that. I'm Phil. We have Aaron and Jay and Chris. They're the friends. And I don't know if you knew this or not. You know what the best-selling car in America is?
The Corolla.
The Corolla?
Yes. What?
Any other guesses?
Civic. Everyone in college always had a Civic.
The Civic? What else?
Camry.
Camry? Okay, so Chris has a Camry, Aaron the Civic, and the Corolla for Jay. The best-selling car in America is the red and yellow plastic Little Tykes toy called the Cozy Coupe.
What? You cheated.
They sell about 500,000 of these each year. That's more than the Toyota Camry, which none of you know.
Hey-o!
And the Honda Accord.
Wow.
Not the Civic, but the Accord.
What the heck is a tiny top? What is it called?
I can tell you that I don't have one, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
But it's the top-selling car in America.
What kind of gas mileage you get on something like
Probably pretty good. Those little plastic wheels can take you a long way. Hey, I mentioned before the break that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and joining us live now is wine and food executive, author of two books, Getting Things Off My Chest, A Survivor's Guide to Staying Fearless and Fabulous in the Face of Breast Cancer, and the new book, which I believe is available either for pre-order or you could get it shipped as soon as they have it ready, Fearless Fabulous You, Lessons on Living Life on Your Terms. They're both available in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. The author's name is Melanie Young, and she's here with us now. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, guys. How is everybody?
Everybody's great, and just even better now that you're on the program with us. Take us back to your personal situation. You're diagnosed. You were running a company, and suddenly everything changed for you, right?
Yes. You know, mine was really a delicious life. I started a program called the James Beard Foundation Awards, which was the Oscars of the world, and you could honestly say my life was about hobnobbing with chefs, visiting great wine regions, and going out every night. And I was going nonstop, running a company. We had, you know, weathered the crash. I'd lost some business. I built some business. I just kept going. And it was on a wine business trip to Tuscany in 2009 that I discovered a lump in my breast. I was good about getting annual mammograms, and that my mammogram 9 months earlier was fine. But I did do self-exams. I'm a big proponent of those, and I found a lump. And a few weeks later, it was confirmed that I had not only one, but three tumors in both breasts, which required a double mastectomy.
Oh.
Yes.
Yikes.
So my life went from, you know, one end of the spectrum to, oh, my God. And there was, you know, like everyone who's diagnosed, you just go, oh, my God, you know, and you just kind of go into this vortex.
Yeah, I'll say. And then so what happened once... Did you have a whole bunch of medical procedures and all of that started kicking in?
I'm one of these people that, you know, fortunately, because of my training producing events and being in charge of crises, I basically implemented my own crisis management plan.
Okay.
And just said, okay, I'm going to get through this. I realized this was the time for you to take better care of yourself. You're pushing yourself too much. So I underwent a double mastectomy with reconstruction, which is my choice. And then, unfortunately, I had to have chemotherapy because they wanted to make sure that no cancers were running around my body. So I did all this, and I continued to run my company. I continued to do business as usual because I wanted to feel like I had one half of my life still in the normal part while I was still undergoing cancer. So it really made me become very focused and organized and better at prioritizing my life.
All right. Well, that's good. I mean, because everything is different now. And I got to believe that all of a sudden you deal with all sorts of new awkwardness in your life, in your relationships, at work and at home and in general. People just act differently around you, right?
Well, you know, really good question. People do. And I just really want to say to every listener out there that cancer is not contagious.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Thank you.
Listen, if you've been told you have cancer or a loved one, it was not your choice or their choice, but you can choose how you want to be treated and who's going to treat you, how you treat yourself, as in treat yourself better, and how you want people to treat you. And I do believe in leaning on a support network and having, you know, this is the time to say, I need help.
Yeah.
I want help. Don't be selfish. Ask. It's very important.
But you know what? People want to go on and keep living their life, and they want to live it the way they were before all of this happened. So what do you tell women about being who they want to be even after a mastectomy?
Well, I think that's a great question. You can choose everything. Once you've had cancer, and let you know, the only thing the hand that's dealt is how severe is it and what your treatments are. But you are in partnership with your doctor. You can choose to be what I call the cancer cave dweller and go, poor me, pity me, or you can be, as I say, fabulous. And I said, I'm going to use this time, and I suggest this to anyone diagnosed, use this time to take better care of yourself. Say, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to treat myself better. I'm going to make sure my health is better so I don't have a recurrence.
Yeah. So how are you doing? What's your prognosis?
Well, I am 5 years, which after, you know, 5 years after diagnosis, you're considered in remission. Breast cancer, sadly, is not curable, but it is manageable. And the key is that I do not, I do not have a risk of recurrence. So I have done everything possible. And I encourage everyone who has, you know, cancer to do the same. Do everything possible to watch your diet, watch your weight, get a lot of exercise and manage stress and don't smoke.
Yeah,
you've got to take better care of yourself. But hey, everybody has to, right?
That's true. And so all of that, there's plenty of documentation that all of that helps. I got to ask you something in discussion before we did the program. today. Chris was asking me a question. I think it's a good one to get your perspective on, because there have been some very high-profile women, Angelina Jolie for one,
right,
who got a preemptive double mastectomy. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's your choice. If you have a family history of breast cancer or related cancers, i.e. ovarian, and, you know, you may want to get genetic testing, which is what Angelina Jolie did. I also did as well, even though I didn't have a family history. My father had prostate cancer. My grandmother had pancreatic. Guess what? They're all related. And I have an Ashkenazi Jewish background, so I have the mutation. So it is your choice. You do not have to have a double mastectomy. You can go under surveillance, which means you just have to have more exams and sonograms and work with, in partnership, your doctor to manage and make sure that you, you know, don't, you know, have any elevated risk. But it's your choice. You don't have to have a double mastectomy or any mastectomy if you test positive. I was glad that I did genetic testing. I already had the cancer, so the answer was there. But if you do have any risk in your family or history, it's something to consider. But it's a very personal decision.
Gotcha. And Melanie Jay here has a question for you.
Hi, Melanie. Now, you had the double mastectomy. Did you replace them?
Yes. And I want to be the positive thing, because everything has to have a positive in this, because, you know, cancer is cancer,
right,
is that you do have the right to reconstruct. And as of 1998, federal law requires breast reconstruction or breast prostheses is covered by health insurance. That's a biggie, because
wow,
think about it. Before 1998, it was considered cosmetic. It's not cosmetic. It's important, because if you lose your breast, you'd be, you know, it can hurt your back, it can hurt your breastbone, and psychologically, knowing that you can rebuild and you have several choices for reconstruction. That's important in that, you know, wanting to take control of your diagnosis. Knowing that I was able to reconstruct, that made me realize that I could be whole again in a whole new way. And my husband went breast shopping with me. He helped pick out my
Of course he did.
Right.
What did he get to? Bonding time.
I had to make him bigger and bolder and better. I mean, I looked at it, you know?
So he got to kick the tire, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like picking out a new set of headlights for your Chevelle. You got to pick the right ones.
It's a very personal. I chose implants. They're the most popular, but you can also take fat away from here and there in the body. And,
well, we're sorry. You keep saying it's very personal. We agree with you. We did not intend to make it sound any less personal by being guys.
But I think what's important is that women, you know, it's not a death, you know, it's not a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the end of your life. It could be the beginning of your life in a whole new way. It is not easy. I'm not covering it up. It's a tough road, but you've got to think about, not about, am I going to die, or, oh my God, this is the worst thing that happened to me. No, you got to make it the best thing you can do for yourself moving forward, and think about the life you want to live when you get through treatment.
Good advice, Melanie Young. Your two books, Getting Things Off My Chest, A Survivor's Guide to Staying Fearless and Fabulous in the Face of Breast Cancer, and Fearless Fabulous You, Lessons on Living Life on Your Terms. They're both in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Melanie Young, thank you very much, and continue being fabulous.
Thank you, and you guys have a fabulous day. I really appreciate your helping spread the word about awareness.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. That's it for Hour 1. There's more to come, including Apple has all sorts of new stuff. They're on overdrive, and you'll hear from our tech guy. And October is also National Sausage Month. Enough said? Good. Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the Day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, brats, kielbasas, and bangers. Yes, it's National Sausage Month. And guess what we're talking about? Plus, our tech guy joins us shortly to review new Apple stuff, and we'll explore what happens when talking behind somebody's back in social media gets you kicked in the legal teeth. The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's get things rolling again, shall we? Aaron, we'll start with you. And I posted a story on the blog section of Phil Hewlett and Friends, .com last week about chimps in court. Bring us up to speed. There's an update, right?
Well, they're waiting now for an answer on this this legal battle that's been going on in New York. Now, a court is set to decide if chimpanzees are entitled to legal personhood and protections that go with it. Now, the case is about Tommy the chimp, who has been kept in a cage in upstate New York. And lawyer Steve Weiss is seeking a ruling that 26-year-old Tommy has been unlawfully imprisoned and should be put in a sanctuary.
Imprisoned what? He's in a cage.
He's in a cage. But apparently, Tommy's owner does say that, you know, he has TV, a stereo, cable, etc. in this cage.
So they want to make him human. They want to give him the same rights, like the Constitution, to a chimp.
Jay, yes. Why is he in a cage in the first place? Jay, enlighten us.
Because he's an animal. He's a filthy animal.
Well, but that doesn't explain why he's in a cage. Shouldn't he be out in the wild?
Yes.
Number one, okay. That's right. So, okay, let's take him out of the cage and then put him in a sanctuary. Isn't that a cage?
Less of a cage. I mean, a little more freedom. But
you stupid, stupid people out there. Why? Why would you? You know what? Let him out.
Remember that?
Get him
to
let
run
him
the
out.
Streets.
Remember that couple that went to visit their chimp in a sanctuary and the chimp ripped the guy in half and
put that chimp on trial, Phil. Waste taxpayer money.
And then what?
Give him a public defender.
And put him back in a cage?
What are you going to do? What else can you do? This is the most asinine thing I have ever heard.
Well, they're saying if this goes through them, they could start, you know, with dolphins and elephants and
out.
Things like that. Too.
Let them out. Give them guns. Let them out.
I
don't care. Come on, bring it on.
I hope they knock on your door
and they say hello to you first and literally rip your face off. Can you imagine this?
Oh boy.
I still can't get my head wrapped around the fact that he has a television in his cage
TV,
right
yes.
now. Do you think he cares about it?
I can't.
That's better
than
most college students have.
Yes.
That is true. Wow. If you look at it like that, that is. It's like a dorm room with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get out of here with this.
I have a question for you, Jay. What do you think about giving chimps the right to personhood? No, never mind. We just did that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's skip that. I forgot to make
Sorry.
Notes. I forgot to take notes.
That
there.
Was great.
Okay.
That
Sorry,
was good
it's
stuff.
Just it's ridiculous.
Well, there are some humans who I suppose we should lock up and throw away the key.
Yeah, this is ridiculous too. Actually, British police are looking for two thieves. And they're going to try to identify them by what they were wearing. One was in a polka dot onesie, and the other had red leggings on. And they were carrying a shovel or a spade and a lightsaber.
All right.
Yes. And apparently they stole monitors in a Yorkshire station. And, you know, they're hoping that this unusual attire and...
Assuming they wear
yes,
that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't wear a polka dot onesie every day?
Yeah.
I mean.
You know, anytime you hear the description of a criminal, they always describe what the person was wearing at the time they commissioned
the crime.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Last scene.
Yeah. Like, they're not going to change, right?
Well, they are now after this picture goes up and everyone can see him in the onesie.
Maybe it's his favorite onesie and he's just going to wear it all the time.
Or maybe he's got like a blue striped onesie. He's going to switch into that.
Even if he changes, he's still going to be carrying around the lightsaber. I mean, who puts that down?
Yeah.
You don't get rid of those.
Cool, right.
That
got lightsaber noise. Do they, were they real lightsabers? The kind that really like can cut you in half or were they the plastic toy kind?
They look like the toy kind, but It is pretty
but it's
crazy.
Hard to distinguish.
It is lit up in the picture, actually.
It is hard to
it
distinguish?
Is, you can see it in the picture. It's lit up.
You
it's
have
blue.
One of those, Chris?
Well, the real ones look so much like the fake ones. You know what I mean?
Do they?
So sometimes it's hard to tell until you get too close to it and it cuts your arm
wait
off.
Till chimps get lightsabers.
Oh, that's a great idea, Phil. That's fantastic.
We that's just won't give them the real
give
ones.
Give them driver's license while we're at it, right? Come on.
Haven't you seen the pictures of dogs driving? So why not
can
chimps?
Can you imagine? You go for a job. The job market sucks so bad right now. And then you have to go back to your family and be like, no, I didn't get the job. The chimp got it.
Oh.
That'd be awesome.
The chimps are taking our jobs.
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Sorry.
See?
Just people.
There are so many parallels. And this is all this is. It's a slippery slope.
It is. Exactly. Come on. I don't want my dog driving.
Somebody will go back and say, look, you know what? We gave women the right to vote.
Oh
no! Great analogy, Phil. Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll say we had
this carrying
we
had a shovel. Now
we had the Civil Rights Act.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
They said we had gay marriage.
Oh boy!
And then what's next?
Chimps and driver's license. So concealed carry permits.
What is this attorney going to argue? Is he going to go there?
Who knows? You know, there's so many whack jobs in the court system, and there's so many whack jobs walking around going, you know what? That dog, even though he's a dog, he really is a person, so he needs to be treated that
yeah,
as such.
Yeah, yeah. But then when he Get goes when
here.
He goes to the bank teller, can he endorse the check that says pay to the order of whack job?
Exactly, right? It's like, come on. What are you doing?
Sure.
What are you doing?
Just
think
dips his
this
paw
thing
in ink
through.
And...
All right. But then there are the bad guys, Aaron, who have second thoughts about their crimes.
They do. They actually feel bad about what they did. Remorseful, you would say. A man named Richard Gorton stole from a bank in Washington, and police say he actually handed a note to the bank and said, you know, this is a bank robbery. Well, the 60-year-old, he did not try to flee. Apparently, as he walked out of the bank, he felt very guilty, and he waited for the police to come and arrest him.
Oh.
And he told them what he did as soon as they got there.
That's a nice guy.
That is a nice guy. I guess he fell on hard times. The frozen fish wasn't selling like it used to. The Gorton's frozen. Was that his name?
Gorton?
He's the frozen fish guy, right?
No, that's Gorton.
Yeah, this is a T.
It's not Gorton.
G-O-R-T-O-N.
I don't think so.
Wait, double
Gorton?
Check.
The guy in the yellow raincoat, right?
It's Gorton with a T, is it not?
What?
Pretty sure it's Gorton with a D.
I don't know.
I'll give you a second to check it.
No, I think Phil might be right. Uh-oh. It is.
Uh-oh.
I see a Gorton's Fisherman's.
Gorton's Fish Sticks.
Oh, well.
It's the guy in the yellow fishing suit,
with the white beard?
Yeah. Jeez. He fell in hard times, robbed a bank, but he's remorseful.
I don't think it's the actual Gorton's Fisherman.
Well, let's raise a fish stick to this guy for doing the right thing. By the way, the guys in the onesies... We have their photo, the CCTV photo, on the show fun page of PhilHewlettAndFriends.com.
Oh,
yeah, you can't recognize them by any means. Their faces are covered. But...
Yeah, all right. Okay, Jay, a story for you, and it has nothing to do with chimps, hopefully.
All right.
But it does deal with a couple of animals who did a video with some beer. And beer is always involved, but in this case, something worse.
This might actually, you know, prove the lawyer's point that we are close to chimps, because these two idiots out in Australia... just made a terrible decision, but everybody turned out okay. But it is a phenomenal video, and the video is going viral. You're sitting around, and somebody always brings beer to the party or beer to the bonfire, and the one guy always brings the beer that has the bottle top that needs the bottle opener, but doesn't bring the opener, right?
Right.
You know that guy?
That guy.
That guy just fries my eggs. This guy had a brilliant idea and decided to use a chainsaw to open his beer. A chainsaw.
Wow.
It is a phenomenal video. The guy, I don't know if this is like a one-time thing. I would like to see the videos that he tried to use a chainsaw and it didn't go so well. But it is fantastic. Now, Phil, I sent this to the Web Munchkins. I don't know if they're back there working or lighting doobies.
Let me
I
see.
I don't know.
Hold
I
on.
I want to know.
Let me check. I'm looking at the show fun. It's there.
All right. So listen, if you go to the website, PhilHewlettAndFriends.com, you can see the video. The video is fantastic. And how he crafted it. He basically just touches the top of the beer bottle and the bottle cap, and the bottle cap just goes flying, and then the guy downs a beer. So you got to hand it to him for ingenuity.
This is a skilled guy, but no shards in the beer?
I don't think so. It doesn't look that way. The way it's done, because the chainsaw goes around the loop, right? And, you know, it's got teeth. One of the teeth kind of catches the bottle cap and it goes flying.
I tell you, I want everybody who comes to the website, of course, to support our sponsors. There are advertising banners that, for whatever reason, they pick up some kind of contextual. This is a completely different story.
Oh.
Some kind of contextual reference somewhere on the website. I don't know why or how it happens. But I'm on the show fun page, and there's an ad on the side of the page with a nice-looking young lady, blonde hair with her shoulders exposed. It says, "Start your family with a Russian lady."
That comes up all the time on there.
Start your family with a Russian lady.
Why not?
It's not a dating site. Start your family?
They have strong genes, Phil.
I guess. I mean, it's like, do not go to jail. Go directly to go or whatever.
No, don't pass go. Don't collect $200.
Go directly to jail?
Go directly to jail. That's the way it is.
Is that what this is?
Well, it must be legal if it's on the internet.
Oh, yes, gosh. For sure.
And you know what else is on the internet? Disease. The kind of disease that you can't catch. But that's coming up next. Chris will explain. It all is followed by a .com, because everything bad in life has a .com after it. That's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. We're back, and so are you. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. 1 in 3 people have already started their Christmas shopping.
What?
That's right.
I start early.
You start?
Mm-hmm. I start as soon as Christmas is over,
and
pretty much.
17% of people say their master plan to afford Christmas this year is to just go into credit card debt. And 8% will take out a loan or overdraft on their accounts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. A loan?
Yeah. Yeah. Just people are planning on buying big.
See, chimps could have credit cards, though.
Oh, that's the next thing. What?
Again with the chimps.
Yeah. Great. That's great.
We found another hot button with Jay.
Well, I mean, it's just asinine to do that. Yeah. I mean, come on.
That's all right. We love you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. So, Chris has been searching the internet, and he found a whole bunch of websites that are apparently for sale. Is that right, Chris?
That is right.
Feel free to just jump right in.
That's right, Phil. I was doing a little research, and I found this guy named John Schultz. He's an internet entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And he claims that tragedy and disaster offer unique business opportunities, and here's how he is taking advantage of those business opportunities. He bought the domain name Ebola.com in 2008. He paid $13,500 for Ebola.com.
Was it a good investment?
Well, we're going to find out, because now he's asking for $150,000 from potential buyers to sell this.com.
That's really cheap, I think.
I tend to agree with you, Jay. I mean,
again, who's going to use Ebola.com and for what reason? I mean, is it even a popular domain name as it is now?
Well, here's the thing. John's saying that this site is getting more than 5,000 visits a day right now. And you'd hope that whoever bought it would be somebody related to the national government and would use it for responsible reasons to give us updates
on what's
happening around
the world. Like
the National
Institutes of Health or the something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. The World Health Organization, something like that. But who knows? It's probably going to be some, you know, jerk with a bunch of money, and he's going to turn it into some goofball site.
Yeah,
but
and you type in Ebola.com, and it redirects to videos of chimps with guns.
Right. No! No! I would rather have porn than chimps with guns if I go to Ebola.com.
So get this. This guy has now been named the Merchant of Disease, because he also owns H1N1.com, chickengunya.com, birdflu.com, which he says, by the way, he says birdflu.com is worth way more than ebola.com because bird flu is an airborne disease and Ebola will never go airborne in the U.S. So he's going to hang on to that one for the event. Before he sells it.
Yeah. Good one.
That's his theory on that one.
Has he sold any of them yet? Like, that you know of?
I don't know how many he has sold, but he does own a lot of them. He also owns, like, Terror.com and some other ones, Fallujah.com.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Terror.com.
Yes.
Right. You'd think somebody would have bought that by now.
You'd think.
I own a bunch of domains, but they're all stupid. Nobody nobody wants them. They're worth a dollar.
Give us an example. What do you got?
Oh, like Lindsay Jail Cam.
That's hilarious. Hmm.
But, you know, when Lindsay Lohan was going to jail all the time, and I figured, okay, what can I do with this? But I'd have to, like, bogey up some photos of her in jail, because who's going to have photos of Lindsay in jail? So it's just a stupid idea. But go to lindsayjailcam.com and just see.
Check it out. It'll redirect you to Phil Hewlett and friends.
Yeah, see? How about that? All right. Do you get a little tired? I do. Of all the tattoos on basketball players?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, it doesn't matter so much. It doesn't change the game. Although it does change the game a little bit. I mean, it just kind of gets...
Sometimes it's a little excessive.
It gets a little inky. That's all I'm saying. Well, there's a guy who spent years maintaining this crazy database. He must have a lot of time on his hands. Or he smokes a lot of pot. I don't know. He has a blog. He maintains a comprehensive database of the tattoos of every NBA player. And according to his website, 241 of the current 442 players have at least one tattoo. That's 55%. The Denver Nuggets and the Detroit Pistons are the most tatted up teams, with 80% of the players sporting ink.
Yeah, those are two raggedy teams anyway.
Yeah. The Charlotte Bobcats are the least inked team. Just 29% of their players have tattoos. The New Orleans Pelicans, which incidentally is the stupidest name in basketball.
Right, exactly.
They are just a notch above that at 33%. A disclaimer on the guy's website notes that his data is only based on what this guy has observed through watching games, looking at photos online, plus reading interviews and player profiles. So there may be tattoos out there that he's not aware of.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's when you need the locker room.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now,
are you volunteering?
Hey, why not? I'll do some research for us.
How many of these guys are getting creative with their tattoos these days? You know, the animated kind, like when you flex, they move. You know, they do things.
No.
No?
No.
People don't have those?
I'm sure they do, and if you do, you're a...
Well, these guys that can flex their pecs, you know, and move one up and move the other one. And,
what happens when you're 80 then with that one? I mean,
The saggy animated
one? Then you got to move it yourself.
You have to jump up and down?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I think Aaron's saying is, don't get a tattoo!
They're not bad.
You've got a few.
I've got a couple.
Here's one sticking out of your collar.
They're not bad. If you get them done and done correctly and spend some coin on them,
And get them done when you're drunk?
No, never.
Always.
And design them when you're drunk.
Yeah, now that's fun.
You can always tell when that happens.
You know, that's a drinking game, like tattoo roulette. First guy to pass out gets a tattoo.
No.
You got to take
shots every 15 minutes.
Exactly. The crowd.
Oh. Do it live?
Yeah, right?
And have people vote?
Oh, boy.
No, not going to happen. No ink on me. How about you, Chris? Anything?
Yeah, well, I have a tattoo of my last name across my back.
You do?
Yeah, I got it when I was 21.
What about the little butterfly on your ankle? You have that?
I had that one erased. I had that one removed.
You've tried the lasers.
Aaron?
I do not.
You are inkless.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yep.
I like that. All right. Well, while we're talking to you, Aaron, I think you have more news for us. Let me just double check. What did we talk about before? You've got a sweet-smelling guy to talk about, don't you?
I do. He probably doesn't feel so sweet right now because it actually got him thrown in jail. But
well, you're just the police blotter
today. I think I must be, in a mood or something. But Charles Augusto, apparently in Oregon, he outran the police. They were in a high-speed chase. He got away. Well, I guess he abandoned his car and went out into the woods, and police were able to find him because the smell of his cologne was so strong that even in the dark forest, they could smell him. So
does that mean it's cheap cologne? If it's that strong, doesn't that mean it's cheap cologne?
Or he just wears way too much.
Yeah, right.
Well, have you noticed some colognes? I mean, the lady kinds, because I quit wearing cologne a long time ago. I think
Yeah, we know.
Thank you. And but my wife wears it. She's got every kind. I mean, I've over the years that it's always a nice gift to go find some fancy cologne, right? Some eau de toilette or whatever it is, some perfume.
Perfume,
right?
Yes.
Bring one of those little bottles. It's like $1,000 for like a drop of whatever's in there. Anyway, some of them they just kind of waft. Others they disappear into her own, you know, whatever her smell is, and it creates her own unique thing. And mm-hmm. I think those are the ones that are special.
Yes, because they are different on everyone. That's what they say. You know, we all could put on the same one here, and it'd be different.
But
on
you
all
don't want
to
walk in a room and because these days the HR department sends out emails saying, you know, go easy, because we have that one employee who's going to sue if he or she smells perfume.
You know, I love those memos though. Like, hey, go easy on the, you know.
Yeah.
Patchouli juice there, Italian. It's like, come on.
How about the opposite one, too, that says, you know, might be a good idea to put on a little deodorant.
Personal hygiene.
Sending this out to everybody, even though there's a dude in the corner who just, you know, it's him.
Do you immediately go into the mode where you try to figure out who it was?
Was
the genesis of that email?
Do you immediately lift your arm and stick your nose down in the pit of it and take a whiff?
Take a check.
It wasn't me.
Spot check.
Yeah. Man, okay. All right, this portion of the program is sponsored by Dracar Noir.
Hi, karate.
Hi, karate.
Hey, a ton of new Apple stuff is coming. And you know that website, Whispers? It's basically where you can post anonymous rumors about anybody or anything. Well, things are blowing up after some inside information about some highfalutin rich guys started showing up. And our tech guy wants to tell you all about that and a whole lot more. And he joins us live on the sweetest smelling segment of the program, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Here we go. It's tech time on the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And a lot happening in tech news today, and a lot of it revolves around Apple, a company that our tech guy is truly in love with. Jeremy Antacuni is here. Hey, Jeremy.
What's up, gang?
It's your favorite company, Apple.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
I like them.
All right, good. And a lot of new Apple stuff is coming out, isn't that right?
There is quite a bit of new stuff. And obviously, there was just a huge iPhone 6 event not long ago. So this is a brand new event that Apple released some new products as well as some new software. And, of course, lots to talk about here.
Yeah, so when I tweeted you today, I followed your Twitter handle with a hashtag Apple event. So that should help, right?
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
We've been waiting for Apple Pay, which, of course, is their new payment processing service that is rolled into the iPhone 6 that allows you to ditch your wallet.
Ditch your wallet, I think, is what he was saying. We're just getting some technical stuff there. But go ahead, Jeremy. I think we have you back.
So you ditch your wallet, you use your phone for payment. That starts on Monday, and that will also be the same day that they release iOS 8.1, which is their software update that's going to enable that. But starting today, if you've got a Mac, you can install Yosemite, which is the latest operating system from Apple. And unlike a lot of the other operating systems out there, it is a free one. So you can update and run the latest software for free.
All right. So it's pretty simple for people to update. Are there any things they need to be aware of? Should they back things up just to make sure?
You know, I would always back up my data. You know, I would have it on an ongoing basis, make sure that you're backed up daily. But certainly before doing an operating system upgrade, I would make sure that all of your information is backed up so that in case something does go happen, that you do have a backup.
And so that old version of GarageBand that came with your Mac, is it still going to operate on Yosemite?
There's new versions of all of the stuff. Everything that came with it, all those built-in applications will be new in the Yosemite build as well.
Oh, so they update automatically.
All of that stuff comes with it. Yeah,
Apple is cool. Okay.
And in addition to that, on Monday, iWork, which is their spreadsheet and Word document processing and so forth, that package is also going to be free. So they're moving towards completely free software model.
See, that's smart, because a lot of people with Macs were getting the Microsoft Office for Mac.
Right. Now, Jeremy, is this for the iPads as well?
No. So the iPad is a different of iWork, but I believe that they made that free as well, didn't they?
That's why I'm, hey man, you're the expert. I'm asking you. You're supposed to know this. So why do we have this guy on the show if he doesn't know what the hell we're talking about? I'm just kidding.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. We're talking about computers.
Hey, Jeremy, what's your opinion on monkeys getting civil rights?
No, stop it.
I'm not so sure about that. I think that while they've definitely come a long way, I don't think they're ready for it.
Yeah, good. They're not ready for it. Never mind us making the conclusion that they're ready. Yeah, they're not ready. All right. Tell us what Whisper is, Jeremy.
Whisper is a lot like Secret. And so we talked about Secret a few weeks back. It's an anonymous sharing platform that allows you to post your, you know, deepest and darkest secrets, supposedly anonymously.
So there's no surprise something controversial is happening over there, is there? Yeah.
Precisely. So a new report just came out from The Guardian, the UK newspaper, that's basically saying that they're tracking everybody that is using the service, where they are, what their names are, and so forth, and are actually cooperating with the government as well as the Department of Defense and other government agencies and sharing information with them. So, you know, I think this kind of just boils down to, if you don't want something on the internet, you shouldn't be putting it on the internet.
Yeah, you're very careful about that. I've noticed that about you, Jeremy. Good luck finding you on Facebook. I think you're there, but you must have a different name, like Squirrel Guy or something.
Well, you probably keep typing in a different name, Phil.
Do I type a different name?
Maybe like David or something.
David Anticone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. So all right, let's go to the next story. We have AT&T. They're paying up. How much and why? Oh, he's not on.
Again, he doesn't know the answer.
He doesn't.
Silence.
Yes. All right. Well, this is a story that Jeremy's going to tell us about as soon as we get him back in, and he'll pop in any moment now. Jeremy, is that you?
I am here.
We're talking about AT&T paying up. How much and why?
$80 million.
Whoa.
So, you know, the cramming, which is basically they would allow companies to tag onto your bill with extra charges for push notifications or other text messages that send you, daily horoscopes and other garbage that nobody wants.
Of course.
Well, they got sued, and the FTC is making them pay back $80 million in refunds to their customers. So if you had any of that happening to you, you can qualify for a reimbursement and just visit the FTC's website, and you can make your claim to get some of that money back.
All right, just checking. AT&T has 80 million customers, so that means you're getting a dollar.
They are actually going to be verifying that you did, in fact, have your bill crammed. So I wouldn't submit a claim unless you actually had this happen to you. But certainly, they were charging a tremendous amount of money and keeping a huge amount of it and sharing it with these other companies.
I'm going to throw you a little curveball here, just a think piece question for you, Jeremy, because we had a story just a bit ago that something 3 in 5 people or 3 in 10 people have already started their Christmas shopping. And, the tech gifts are always huge. And I try to zero in on what the biggest, most popular gift is going to be, and if I time it right, I can go pick up a bunch of them at face value, and then I could sell them for 3 times the price when they're sold out off the shelf. Do you have any idea what the big tech gift is going to be this year?
That is a good question. I think that probably some of the drones are going to be extremely popular holiday gifts.
Yeah, baby.
The ones with the four helicopter props on them?
Yeah, the quadcopters. Probably the DJI Phantom is going to be one of the coolest holiday gifts this season, is my guess.
DJI Phantom.
DJI Phantom,
Oh, DJI. Okay.
Yeah,
all
good
right.
stuff.
Is that the one that got you in trouble with the cops there, buddy?
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Yeah, all right.
I'll log into Whispers and see if I can figure it out there.
There you go.
All right.
Good plan.
Jeremy, thank you again. We'll talk some more tech with you next week at about this time.
All right, guys.
All right, there he goes. Hey, we could not be happier. Do you know why? It's because October is National Sausage Month.
All right.
Eric Mittenthal, you remember him? He's with the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. He's been on the show before, I think, when it was National Hot Dog Month, as a matter of fact. And he joins us live next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and that's a good thing because we've got a lot to talk about. Do you like fishing? Do you like going fishing? I haven't been fishing in a while.
I love it.
Yeah, but it's really enjoyable. It's something that it gives you a calm spirit while you're out there doing it.
Gives you a chance to get drunk without anybody judging you.
Even if you don't catch anything.
No, just kidding.
And then the little kid rolls up, you know, with his grandpa, and he throws out the bait, and like the first cast, and he reels in the fish of the day, Chris, and it just makes you mad. And the whole thing is destroyed when a little kid does that. And this kid just made the news, right? A little girl.
Yeah, it just happened recently. 12-year-old Jenna Gavin hauled in a 618-pound Atlantic bluefin in Nova Scotia. Apparently, this was part of a junior fishing tournament. So the fish is a world record for junior girls ages 11 to 16. So it's not the world record in bluefin tunas. That one is 1,496 pounds caught back in 1979.
Holy mackerel. I mean, holy bluefin.
She caught it on a mackerel.
I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. Oh, she put a mackerel out, and this thing ate the mackerel.
It's a monster.
There's a picture of it on our show fun page. I'm looking at it right now.
She said she was nervous and it hurt, but it felt so cool, and the fish was really big.
Wow. No,
and it is. Look at that thing. And there's Grandpa right there holding the fish.
Yeah. No, that's the guy. That's the world record holder.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah. He comes to every one of these events to congratulate
the juniors.
He's
about to get impaled in the nose with that sharp dorsal fin on that bluefin.
Some of the proceeds from her record haul, by the way, went to helping her pay for her braces.
How about that?
There you go.
So she got a big fish. She'll get straight teeth, and the world is better for it. Can you fish with a sausage as bait?
I'm sure you can.
And if you're a meat eater, I mean, sausage. Isn't sausage right up there as one of the best ways to prepare and serve meat?
It is the greatest.
Am I right about that? It is the greatest?
It is the greatest.
All October, sausage lovers across this country are celebrating National Sausage Month. And joining us live with a sizzle in his eye and a snap in his talk is Eric Mittenthal with the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. Eric, great to have you on again. I think we had you during Hot Dog Month last time. And explain to us why we love sausage so much.
Well, you know, it's such a great, perfect food, you know. I mean, there are so many different ways you can make it. And so it goes with just about anything. And it's so easy to eat, too. It's a perfect food.
You could put it in your spaghetti, in your paella. You could put it on some bread and slather some mustard on it, and you're good to go, right?
Yeah, lots of different ways you can millions of different recipes that make it so easy to eat.
Where did sausage get its start? I mean, some guy somewhere came up with this idea, which today, for people who don't think much about how things are made, they just pick it up on the shelf at the store and they cook it up and they eat it. They would probably shudder a little to hear about the process, right? But give us the genesis of sausage.
Well, would you believe it actually goes all the way back to 8th century B.C.,
Whoa!
Homer wrote about sausage in the Odyssey, believe it or not, and so it goes way back, and then it was kind of refined in Europe over the decades or centuries and made its way to the U.S.
And so you get some meat, you grind it up, and you shove it into what?
A casing.
And the casing is made of what?
The casing can be made of a variety of things, including intestines of pigs and sheep, or there are removable casings that are typically collagen or cellulose. And those are going to be used to cook the sausage and then removed before.
Yeah. And which casing gives the best snap?
I think pigs or sheep, you know, pigs and sheep is kind of interchangeable. Those are the ones that are going to be snapped.
See, I love talking about sausage. I love eating sausage. I just don't like to know what it takes to make
exactly.
The sausage.
Exactly. See, that's the part I was talking about that would make people shudder because they don't like to think about the process.
Appreciate it.
All right. There are so many varieties of sausages, and they have names. Some of them are real names. Some of them are just nicknames. They're bangers and kielbasa and knackwurst and salami. The list is so long. Do you have any idea how many varieties there are, Eric?
There are a lot. We have a guide on our website, and I think we have more than 30 on there. So there's a lot of different ones, and we don't capture them all, I'm sure, because worldwide there's a lot of different ways to make sausage.
Yeah, you have another guide on there, too, that caught my eye at your website, which we have a link to on the links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. You have a beer and sausage pairing guide.
Oh, my God, yes.
Give us a couple of examples of good pairings.
Yeah, certainly, you know, if you want to talk about your porter, you know, your thick, dark beers, you're going to be wanting a more andouille sausage, a spicier sausage to pair with that. An ale, you're going to want something a little bit lighter, like a mortadella, a mild salami, something lightly smoked. An Oktoberfest-style beer, which is, you know, kind of the classic German beer, pairs well with a mild hot dog type or ring bologna. So we have a wide variety of options on there to pair with sausage.
How about a pairing that involves dipping? If you like to dip your sausage in your beer, go with that.
What? Well, it's not a French fry and a milkshake,
look,
Phil.
You know what?
What are you doing?
If you're pairing beer and sausage, how many beers is it before you start dipping your sausage in your beer? That's all I'm saying.
I've never seen anyone do that.
It just sounds dirty. Don't. Let's not.
All right. We'll go to the next question then. What's Eric? We're talking to Eric Mittenthal, by the way. He's with the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, and always amazed to know that there is one of those, and we're glad that you're there. What's your favorite way to serve or eat sausage, Eric?
I'm straight up on a bun with onions and peppers. That's the way I go.
What kind of bun are we talking? The kind you like toasted, or does it have some seeds on it?
Yeah, toasted bun. You know, I like kind of a French style with a bratwurst. That's kind of my favorite.
Now, do you slice the brat in kind of not all the way through, but lengthwise, kind of halfway to kind of expose the inside, get a little more crispy on the inside, or do you just keep it whole?
No, I keep it whole because that keeps it more juicy.
Yeah, you know, I had a bad experience one time. I was barbecuing, and I kept them whole, kept the casing, and I went to go pick it up, and the tongs pierced the casing, and I had sausage juice all over me.
Lucky it didn't get in your eye.
All over me. I couldn't believe it.
So help us out with that part, because if you're going to barbecue your sausage or put it in a microwave or put it on a pan, an iron pan or a steel pan or whatever you're going to do, you're going to heat it up some way. If you fork it, then you lose those juices, right? If you don't fork it, the first time you cut into it, you potentially have scalding juice in your eye.
Well, you got to let it cool off a little bit there, but yeah, you don't want to be.
I can't wait. I'm sorry. It looks too delicious.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm one of those guys that burns himself on the food because I can't wait to taste it. All right. Well, that's a silly question, and I hear the humor, the laughter in your voice. You're making fun of me, and I appreciate that.
I think he's laughing because you claim to fork your sausage.
Yeah. Right, Chris. Good observation. Hey, are there any sausage-related events of note that people should know about?
Well, we're having a big one. We have a contest for the month asking people to send us their most creative sausage recipe that can be made in under 20 minutes. And the winner is going to get a $250 gift card for all the sausage that they can get for $250.
Nice.
All right, here's my recipe. I'm coming up with it right away. You get your bread like you have your bun, whatever kind of bun you want. You cook up your sausage real good, throw it in the bun, but not before you put in mustard and grape jelly.
What?
Mustard and grape jelly. Throw the sausage in there, and I'm telling you, don't laugh, don't scoff. It's sweet and sour, and it don't talk about making it in 20 minutes. This is 5 minutes. However long it takes to cook that sausage, mustard and grape jelly on a bun.
That's a
with
hard
the
one
sausage
to jump on board with.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, don't mock it till you try it. Am I on board? Are you on board with this, Eric?
I'd try it. Yeah, absolutely. Send it to contest@hot-dog.org, and we'll enter you.
contest@hot-dog.org.
Can you do a pasta, too? Like, the GF makes a sausage with bell peppers and, you know, all this other good junk that I have no idea, but it tastes amazing. Can that count? Can that go in your contest?
Yes, it just has to have sausage in the recipe. It can have any other variety of stuff as well.
What about veggie sausage?
Oh.
Can that
get
be
out.
Entered? I tried
get
it once. It's horrible.
Yes.
It is horrible.
Blasphemy!
Yes.
that
I tried it once.
The truth is, there's no such thing as veggie sausage by USDA definition.
Really? Okay.
As meat.
USDA, USDA is the, of course, they're going to write vegetarians right out of the thing. Hey, how about some more exotic stuff? Can we talk, I don't know, longanisa, you know, like the Portuguese-style sausage. You know about those?
Yeah, yeah. Those are made from ground pork. It's got garlic, paprika, cumin seeds, cinnamon in there as well, and vinegar pickling liquid. So that's a more unusual one. You know, you got your liver sausages that are made with pig, beef, or veal livers. You got blood sausage, which is another unusual one that's usually made with beef blood. So some very unusual varieties out there.
Yeah. All right. So those the little Farmer John sausages, you know, the little the ones that come in two rows of like 16. You know the kind I'm talking about?
The breakfast
sausages?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And then they make the patties. Does it cease becoming? I mean, neither of those are in a casing. They're just kind of ground meat with seasoning, and they're rolled into their shapes. Are they really sausage?
Yeah, they still count as sausage. That's just kind of a general pork sausage, we call it, or breakfast sausage. But those count, absolutely.
All right, so it doesn't have to have the casing to qualify as sausage.
No.
All right.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, Eric, do you think that there is a hole in the fast food market, like there's a niche that could be filled with sausage and kielbasa? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just have this fast food menu. It's easy to make. It's quick to do. You can have all these different toppings. Doesn't seem like there's anything like that out there.
Yeah, we have hot dog ones, but not so many sausage ones. So, yeah, it sounds like a great business idea.
Yeah.
All right, forget I just said it because I need to write that
I
down.
Can't forget he yeah, said it because right? It's all making me so hungry. I got to eat something. Eric Mittenthal with the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. All kinds of stuff going on. Their website is available on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Enter the contest with your recipe, and I hope you win. What do you win again?
$250 gift card for sausage and a National Hot Dog and Sausage Council t-shirt. That may be the most
important. Oh,
that's worth something right there.
I am submitting my idea as we speak.
Me too. Eric, great to talk with you again, and can't wait till it's hot dog month so we can have you on again.
Absolutely. Happy to anytime.
All right. There he goes. Thank you very much. All right. Let's close out the show with something heartwarming. Jay, this involves one of our favorite foods of the season, pumpkin.
Well, it is the season for pumpkin everything, and I have fully dove off the deep end.
Yes.
I'm doing pumpkin cinnamon rolls, pumpkin breakfast bars, pumpkin this, that. Well, in Pennsylvania, they have what's called the Great Pumpkin Drop. It's pretty awesome.
That's when your voice changes?
It really is, yeah. They drop a 1,200-pound pumpkin on a delivery truck. There is video. It is phenomenal. Now, again, are our web munchkins high, or did they post the video?
It's there.
Look at that.
It's on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com.
It really is a great idea. The town gets together. They lift this giant pumpkin up with a crane, and then some guy says, let it go, and boom goes the dynamite.
Is there a lot of destruction?
It really is. Excellent. I mean, it just takes this like bread truck and just smashes the heck out of it. It's fantastic.
Oh, we love destruction when it's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, we love your comments too, and there's a contact page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Just fill out the form, click away, we'll see it. And we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Like us, follow us, do whatever it is you need to do to feel nice about yourself. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer is Brooke Peterson. Our production assistant is Nick Wright. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campidonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.